Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts with a look at California agricultural news. Pretty Lady Vineyards will be adding a new green grape variety to their 2024 season. It's called the Applause Green Seedless Grape, and the company says it is a unique and unexpected tasting experience with lush, large round berries and a fragrant profile. They are looking forward to another grape year of Pretty Lady grapes and are very excited to introduce a brand new green grape variety called Applause, which will be launching this year, according to Nick Dulcich, Pretty Lady Vineyards co-owner and president. In addition to their conventional grapes, they also now offer organic grape varieties July through December. The release of the new Applause adds another pretty delicious green grape variety to their impressive repertoire, according to the company. Pretty Lady Vineyards is a grower, packer, and shipper of premium California table grapes. California Governor Gavin Newsom has announced the creation of the California Jobs First Council, an operational plan focused on streamlining the state's economic and workforce development programs to create more jobs faster. The council, an operational plan, will guide the state's investment in economic and workforce development to create more family-supporting jobs and prioritize industry sectors for future growth. Governor Newsom said that California has created more opportunities, more jobs, and more businesses than any other state, but they need to ensure that they're all moving forward together. Through this new council and these investments, they're aligning all of their economic resources to create more jobs faster for Californians in every community. The California Jobs First Council is an integral component of California's broader strategy to prepare students and workers for higher paying careers. The council will work alongside the Council for Career Education and in line with the governor's 2023 executive order that directed the creation of a master plan for career education to ensure that Californians have career pathways, develop skills, and find even more opportunities to be full beneficiaries of the state's economy. Avocado production in California is just getting started, though supply is increasing weekly throughout the rest of this month into April. That according to Peter Shore of Calavo Grower Incorporated. He says they expect to see peak seasonal supply mid to late April and through June. He says they'll have California fruit through August. He notes that the numerous rains that California has seen recently will be beneficial to the crop. The trees are very healthy and they don't have any rains in the next few days. With the sunny weather, that will help to increase the size of the fruit over the next few weeks, which will be a good thing, he says. The trees are healthy and they don't have any rains in the next few days. He says that they will have sunny weather, so that will help to increase the size of the fruit over the next few weeks, which will be a good thing. In all, the overall supply is about the same as last year. At this time of the year, demand continues to be good for avocados. Quarters 1 and 2 tend to be the stronger demand period for avocados. Now with daylight savings, that will lend itself to spring weather and backyard barbecues and things like that, which will keep the consumption strong, according to Shore, adding that Calavo is putting together its Peruvian avocado program for the summer months. FarmNG, The Vine, and the University of California Agriculture and Natural Resources have launched the second year of the Farm Robotics Challenge, a unique contest that brings together agriculture and engineering. This initiative invites university students to create robotic solutions for farming problems, fostering collaboration among academia, the industry, and technology enthusiasts. The goal is to enhance the sustainability and efficiency of farming practices through innovative solutions to make agriculture more sustainable and efficient. The challenge is designed to offer students tangible, real-world experience in applying their robotic knowledge to address critical issues facing the agricultural sector today, like labor shortages, sustainability hurdles, and the operation challenges of small-scale farms. Contestants compete for cash prizes in four categories. Those categories are overall design, complexity, elegance, and the most innovative small farm solution, developing a diverse range of creative and practical solutions. At the core of the Farm Robotics Challenge is the FarmNG Amiga, a modular robotic platform that is adaptable and cost-effective. Engineered with flexibility in mind, the Amiga allows for rapid customization to suit a variety of agricultural tasks. Its expandable frame supports a variety of attachments and implements, while the camera system enables comprehensive data collection and analysis. The platform serves as a tool for in-field technological experimentation, showcasing the future potential of agricultural automation. Simultaneously, it nurtures talent, enabling individuals to reshape farming's future with their unique skills and insights. Asparagus growing conditions are optimal through the next 10 days with 70 degree and 80 degree highs and lows between 40 to 50 degrees. The next 2 weeks are peak production time for the region. Supplies are heavy and demand is very light. Growers are disking fields in an attempt to clear the cooler space of older products and balance harvest with sales. Movement from Mexico crossings through California and Arizona is expected to remain about the same. Trading is slow. Prices are lower. 28-pound cart and crates bunched large are mostly $11.75 to $12.75. The standard is mostly $12.75 to $14.75. Gympack Berries and bioaccelerated degradable plastic America have signed a letter of intent to jointly develop an eco-friendly sustainable packaging solution for strawberries. This initiative will leverage microbial-induced enzyme additive technology to set new standards in environmental stewardship within the agricultural sector, according to the companies. For over 70 years, the founding families of Gympack Berries have committed to fresh produce excellence and in recent years have provided fresh, high-quality berries to consumers while also dedicating efforts to sustainable practices. This new endeavor with BADP America highlights a significant commitment to not only reducing the environmental impact of packaging, but also creating a path towards more sustainable agricultural practices globally. The announcement aligns with increasing global consciousness regarding plastic pollution and the following international calls for action, including local initiatives like California's rigorous plastic waste reduction legislation. BADP America brings its expertise in creating sustainable materials to this partnership, offering a promising outlook for the development of a packaging solution that is not only environmentally friendly, but also meets the practical needs of consumers and producers alike. The Gympack BADP collaboration represents a strategic move towards mitigating the environmental footprint of berry packaging on a large scale. Links between an E. coli outbreak and a local raw milk dairy were unfounded, according to its owners. Raw Farm near Kerman rescinded a voluntary product recall of its cheddar cheese products made from raw milk after the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said it was behind an E. coli outbreak in four states. No pathogens were found in the hundreds of product samples tested by the Food and Drug Administration, multiple state health agencies, or private laboratory testing, according to a Raw Farm news release. The recall was lifted on February 26th. Aaron McAfee, president of Raw Farm, said he was pressed into issuing a voluntary recall and pulling their cheeses from store shelves. The Tulare County Agricultural Commissioner's Office has issued a notice to inform all affected citrus growers, applicators, pest control advisors, businesses, dealerships, and beekeepers of the proposed redistricting of the Tulare County citrus bloom districts. Each year, the Tulare County Agricultural Commissioner evaluates the citrus bloom districts to determine if a change needs to be made. Until now, the current district lines upheld the current regulations defined in the Food and Ag Code and California's Code of Regulations as it pertains to citrus bloom and citrus petal fall. However, with changes in weather conditions over the past several years, as well as growing seasons, growing areas, and different citrus varietals being planted, new districts have been formed and new district lines drawn. These new lines were best determined by cooperation with citrus growers, pest control advisors, and beekeepers in Tulare County, in conjunction with the Agricultural Commissioner and his staff. As a recap, citrus bloom is where there is 10% citrus bloom on the north side of the tree in a district. This signifies the time of the year where pesticide applications have additional restrictions placed upon them when planning treatment and application to citrus groves. This is to assist in overall bee health awareness and lessen the number of chemical applications that could ultimately harm the large number of colonies within Tulare County. Conversely, the Agricultural Commissioner will also call citrus petal fall. This is when 75% of the petals on the north side of the tree have fallen. Once declared, this is notice to beekeepers to move their colonies to other districts or areas outside of the citrus to prevent potential interaction with chemicals that may be harmful to honeybees. The Tulare County Agricultural Commissioner's Department is welcoming input and or opinions.
Festeron Corporation, a leading innovator in sustainable crop protection solutions, has announced the EPA approval of its second novel-acting peptide-based insecticide, Basin. The approval marks a crucial step in the company's journey to transform the agricultural crop protection sector and introduce innovative solutions for pest management that prioritize sustainability and effectiveness. The approval is big news for the ag industry, which doesn't see new modes of action introduced very often, thanks to the significant amount of time and cost involved. Ben Sakura is the Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Vesteron.
as many know, we're not gaining a lot of new modes of action in the industry anymore, not like we used to in the past. And I think the last report I saw here recently was on average, it can take about 300 million and 10 to 12 years to bring a new active ingredient, a synthetic active ingredient to the marketplace. And that's assuming it doesn't get hit with any sort of late stage failures or off target effects along the way. And I think to compound this, you know, the Endangered Species Act, which is now a focus with the EPA, is going to put a lot of additional constraint on any new actives that are coming through. So you're not going to see those big, broad labels that we have in the past. And with our peptides, the premise of our whole platform is really to target those same neuromuscular receptors within an insect, but at a novel site, which again gets us that ability to rotate with those traditional synthetics or just within our peptide product families. And the nice thing about this platform is we can achieve those same milestones in 4 to 6 years at a fraction of the price. So this allows us to bring those new rotational tools at a much faster cadence than the rest of the industry at this point.
Basin is a broad spectrum lepidopteran control that will target an array of insects and give growers one more valuable tool to work with when it comes to controlling pests, he says.
It'll control most of your lepidopteran pests, such as navel orangeworm in the tree nut market, coddling moth, diamondback moth, army worm, all your traditional lepidopteran problem pests. In those situations, like in coastal vegetables, diamondback moth has become a continued problem. Just make sure you have enough modes of action to rotate through because of the ability for that to develop a resistance factor fairly quickly. But then even when you look at tree nuts in terms of navel orangeworm control, believe it or not, we've been using the same two AIs for, I think, 15 or 17 years now. So again, giving growers a new tool like Spearlep and Basin Flex are going to be desired to have a new mode of action to work into those rotations to stave off any additional potential resistance it could be or tolerances it could be developing with navel orangeworm.
Basin's safety profile is said to be soft on pollinators, workers, beneficials, and local biodiversity, which is significant in a state like California that continues to see more stringent rules and regulations when it comes to insecticides. Sakura said it's also going to be significant to the global export industry, which also continues to see stiffer restrictions from other countries.
Yeah, I think, you know, the nice thing about our platform is all of our active ingredients are going to be very similar in the environmental benefits that we bring to the table, right? But I think when you look specifically at California agriculture and just the size and scale and what it means on the global stage in terms of exports, you know, you're going to realize the environmental benefits of these AIs. But I think what's more important is the operational benefits that we deliver. So last year was case in point for a lot of almond and pistachio growers who adopted this new technology with Spearlep, where you had this massive outbreak of navel orangeworm and you had to make a lot of applications later in the season. The beauty of this is when you have all that harvest equipment in a field and ready to go and you have to spray, there's very few things you can spray. And we were one that you can actually make an application and harvest 4 hours later that day. So the 0-day pre-harvest interval and the 4-hour re-entry interval really provide some nice operational benefits. But then it's also the flexibility around, you know, being able to work in parallel with many beneficial programs. So a lot of growers are starting to shift more to, you know, putting beneficial insects in the field to help keep secondary pest populations down. And we work really nicely in conjunction with those programs, whether it's beneficial insects or pheromones. We're a nice complement to those programs, as well as, you know, having the flexibility when pollinators are present to still have the application. And then probably our biggest benefit that we're bringing to growers specifically when it comes to exports, the lack of residues that we have and the residue exemption that we have with Basin and Spear really provide that confidence to growers. If they're sending a load to Asia or to Europe, they don't have to worry about residue rejections at the port. And this is becoming more and more of a global issue with a lot of the restrictions that Europe is placing on, you know, imports from other countries. It's not the residue tolerances aren't going to go up anymore. If anything, they're going to inch closer and closer to zero. So having that flexibility and the assurance that you won't have a load rejected is turning into a very big selling point.
For MyAgLife, this is Kristen Platt.
Farms nationally could face a potential tax liability increase of nearly $10 billion unless Congress passes extensions on some key tax provisions before the end of 2025. Individual farmers could see an array of higher taxes and lost deductions or credits depending on their individual farm and family situations. As the country heads into a presidential election, several key provisions of former President Donald Trump's 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act are set to expire at the end of 2025. USDA's Economic Research Service has released an analysis of the impact of income and estate tax policies on farm households. Some of the key points include the automatic hike in income tax rates would increase tax liability for farm households by nearly $4.5 billion, mainly impacting taxes on off-farm income and for beginning farmers. The loss of bonus depreciation at the end of 2026 could increase tax liability more than 38%, and estate taxes on farms would more than double, as would the taxes on farms that could be hit by the alternative minimum tax. Delegates to the National Farmers Union's 122nd Anniversary Convention have cast a numerous ballot to re-elect Rob LaRue and Jeff Kipley as the organization's president and vice president, respectively. Each will serve another two-year term. The Securities and Exchange Commission recently released its final emissions reporting rule without Scope 3 requirements. Farm News reporter Chad Smith has more on the good news for U.S. agriculture.
The SEC's final climate disclosure rule doesn't contain Scope 3, which would have seriously burdened U.S. farmers and ranchers. Travis Cushman, Deputy General Counsel for Litigation and Public Policy with the American Farm Bureau, says the final rule is notable for what it does not include.
What it does not look like is the way the proposal was 2 years ago, which would have included Scope 3. Scope 3 would have required public companies to report on the greenhouse gas emissions of their supply chain, meaning that farmers would potentially have to be tracking all their emissions constantly. And anytime you sell a bushel of corn, you'd have to say these are how much of seven different types of greenhouse gases were emitted for every bushel I am selling.
The final rule means Scope 3 is off the table for now everywhere except California.
This is a final rule. 2 years ago, the Securities and Exchange Commission put out their proposal, which included Scope 3, and this final rule has fully eliminated it, which we are incredibly excited and thankful for. In terms of what comes next, California recently passed a rule that would also require the disclosure of Scope 3 for anyone doing business in California. We also have sued California over this as well.
The Scope 3 victory is a result of hard work done by both the Farm Bureau and its grassroots members across the country.
This is an example of how well Farm Bureau works when it works together. It's advocacy, it's grassroots. We had our members send 20,000 messages, SEC and Capitol Hill, explaining to them how this could really hurt them. All those things together helped create this result.
For more information, go to fb.org. Chad Smith, Washington.
U.S. rice growers are seeing a growing demand for their products. USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford shares more.
U.S. rice growers seem to be the major exceptions in the current low-price commodity scenario. Crops like wheat, corn, and soybeans have been bringing lower prices and have still struggled in the export market. But USDA's Outlook Chairman Mark Jackanowski says generally U.S. rice is having a pretty good year.
Prices generally are strong. Global supplies are relatively tight. India's export controls on rice is helping to tighten up global rice supply situation, and that's helping to support prices worldwide.
Meanwhile, USDA has raised its rice export forecast and now says exports will top last season by 37%.
And we raised our season average rice market price this month by 40 cents per hundredweight, so currently at $18.80 per hundredweight.
Yes, that's a dollar less than last season, but of course still a very good price. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
And USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack has announced the finalization of a rule to align the voluntary product of the USA claim with consumer understanding of what the claim means. Vilsack made the announcement during a speech to attendees of the National Farmers Union Annual Convention in Scottsdale, Arizona recently. He says this final rule will ensure that when consumers see product of USA, they can trust the authenticity of the label. USA's final rule allows a voluntary product of USA or made in USA label claim to be used on meat, poultry, and egg products
only when they are derived from animals born, raised, slaughtered, and processed in the United States.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.